It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. 5 DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We have got Gridiron Gravy in just 1 second, but first we go to the Corey News Desk for news.
A letter from the Polid family, that is the Twins ownership.
Oh, okay.
For the past 40 seasons, the Twins have been part of our family's heart and soul. This team is woven into the fabric and stuff like that. We've never taken lightly the privilege of being stewards and yada, yada, yada. However, after months of thoughtful consideration, our family reached a decision this summer to explore selling the Twins. So as we enter the next phase of this process, the time is right to make this decision public. Please take care of our privacy. I'm sure that's kind of what it says there.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Lucy. But no, they did say after 4 decades of commitment, passion, and countless memories, we love this community. We want to put them in the best situation, but we're selling. So
okay.
Twins are selling.
That's some big news right there. How much money do you think we'd have to put together?
Oh, no, man. It gets really cold in Minnesota. Like, I have a friend who is he lived there for a while, and
yep.
He goes up there with his wife, and she's like, let's move here. And he's like, no. And she's like, why? It's so gorgeous. And he's like, I don't like to shovel snow. And you're not going to like shoveling snow either whenever it comes that time. Summertime, perfect. Wintertime, terrible.
Okay. Right now, it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Here we go.
Gridiron Gravy brought to you by Rhino Shield. Why paint your house when you can shield your home?
Got it.
Visit rhinoshieldtx.com. All right, let's start with this. We were going to talk about it yesterday. Didn't get the opportunity to really dive into it. There have been 46 games decided in the NFL so far this season by 7 or fewer points. And 40...
Name each of them.
I will not.
All right.
Bobby would take up that challenge. And 40 games decided by 6 points or fewer, both of which are the most through week 5 of a season in NFL history. Wanted to see if y'all had any hypotheses for why that could potentially be the case, because I think it ties into a couple of different things.
All right. Go ahead and throw out the things you think, Kevin.
All right. The first hypotheses that I will throw out there. Let's go to cut number 11 so Butter can help me out with this.
But they have brought Brandon Aubrey out, and Brian Anger puts the ball down at the 44, so this is 54 yards. Operation is clean. Kick from 54 is away. Nothing bothers Butter.
Neither rain, nor sleet, nor snow, nor an hour and a half delay.
I wonder if all the extended field goals that we're seeing have made some offensive play calls more conservative in the, let's say, 30 to 45 yard range. All right. So, because it feels like from before, and you know, you get it at the 30, you kick a 48 yard field goal. Like, hopefully you feel good about that, but that's not always automatic, or at least it used to not be automatic. And I think play callers have tightened up maybe a little bit when you're between the 30 and the 45, give or take. Because they're like, hey, we can't be as reckless because where in the past we'd probably try to punt, flip, they're not totally flip the field, but pin them down. Whereas now you're like, hey, if we're a little bit more conservative, I still feel really confident we can get 3 points on the board. And that has kept games maybe a little tighter.
I like this theory. add to it if we can.
Yes.
In addition to that, there also could be that they are a little more aggressive, saying, hey, we're within striking distance of the end zone. Let's attempt to get there, because if we try to work our way downfield, I don't trust my team.
Yeah.
I don't trust that my team can not be penalized in this situation. So let's try. We're in striking distance. We have the space. We still have plenty of space to get downfield and burn one of their safeties. Let's throw a 30-40-yard touchdown pass. Jason Garrett loved being at the opponent 40 because that's where they would try to strike from. And in that instance, if you don't get it in three downs, now you're like, well, I mean, the worst is I get three.
Yep.
And so I do think a lot of coaches right now, because there's been a lot of sloppy play because they don't practice enough, don't believe that their teams can sustain drives. So they're trying to strike with big plays. So I think that that's a combination of those two things, Kevin.
Now, to go along with this kicking hypothesis, Jason Kelce believes that the goalposts need to be narrowed now. He said, quote, kickers should not be influencing football games as much as they are right now. How do y'all feel about the general thought of narrowing the goalposts to potentially make these lengthy field goals more difficult?
I don't love it.
Okay, can you tell me why? I don't disagree with you, for the record.
Because there was another stretch of time when we saw that kickers were terrible.
Sure.
And I think that you're going to have ebbs and flows of good and bad. I don't think it's always going to be this good. Or, like you said, I don't think it's always going to be this conservative and or aggressive with the offenses. So I think that you're going to have a time when that Brandon Aubrey's and Justin Tucker's are gone and some of these other crappy kickers come back into the world.
Yeah.
Because who really knows how to scout kickers all the time? But I also don't love the idea of just trying to make the game more difficult to score points when it's already tough to score points in this league a lot of times.
Sure. Very fair. Now let's talk about two struggling quarterbacks. Let's go with the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns are the sixth team since 2000 to be held to less than 300 yards and less than 20 points in each of their first five games of a season.
Wow.
Here are the quarterbacks that ran those other teams that accomplished this. Josh Rosen, Jimmy Clausen, Joey Harrington, AJ Feely, and Tony Banks.
Tony Banks, our boy.
I know. But
we've seen it.
We can still agree that's a pretty rough group to be included in, especially when you got the first ever fully guaranteed mega contract in NFL history.
Yeah, that's pretty bad right there, man. That's not a good. You don't want to be walking around going, hey, I'm associated with this group. You want to be walking around saying you're associated with a much, much better group than that.
Yeah. And then there's Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, believe it or not, is currently tied for the longest streak of games by a starting quarterback without hitting 300 yards in a decade. It's been 28 games since he last threw for 300 yards. For Aaron Rodgers, he is currently tied with Tyrod Taylor, Justin Fields, and Josh Allen. Believe it or not, all three of them snapped that streak in the next game.
And Aaron Rodgers?
Well, we'll see. I guess that might now be my question. Do you believe that he will break 300 yards? Because if he doesn't, you know who's next up on the list? Byron Leftwich.
Of course it is.
Who had 31 consecutive games without throwing for 300 yards. A string that spanned the Jags, Falcons, Steelers, and Bucks. That's how little he was actually starting. It took him four different teams to get to 31 games.
Kevin, I don't think it'll happen because okay. I'm currently looking at watching him throw in this last game. And I watched the game, but now watching some of the failed highlights of him throwing or the lowlights of it.
Yeah.
He's low on passes. He's high on passes. He's not connected with the receivers. I know he just the new interim head coach just announced that Nathaniel Hackett is not going to be the play caller anymore.
It's going to be Todd Downing, which is interesting because some people speculated that they were going to make a move on Nathaniel Hackett, and that's why Aaron Rodgers stepped in. I know Aaron Rodgers has disputed that and said he had nothing to do with that, and the Jets owner did as well.
Yeah, but that being said, I think Aaron Rodgers is just trying to help out with any excuse that keeps the pressure from being on him. Hey, yeah. No, yeah. Salah, sure. Look, I'm surprised by it, too.
Yeah.
Because he was great, and we were all great together. You want to replace the offensive coordinator? That's fine by me.
Yeah.
People won't be blaming me, but they'll be blaming the offensive coordinator. But he has to go out now and execute that offense. And if you see that it's consistent, then you know it's the quarterback problem. And then, again, that group has to be thinking, how do we keep failing on this quarterback when we have such a good team?
That is a good question.
Because their defense is good.
Yeah.
And Salah was a defensive coach. So that's where I'm like, why did you had a good thing. The bad part was the offensive side.
Michael Pittman Jr. for the Colts is expected to miss multiple weeks with a back injury. On the flip side, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith were both full participants in practice yesterday for the Eagles. So we've talked about how much the Eagles have struggled early on. They are no doubt hoping that the return of pretty much a lot of their offensive firepower is on the way back. Believe it or not, NFL ratings have dipped.
I don't believe it.
At least in week 5. So one of the reasons.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For that is
travel,
maybe, but also Sunday night football for the Cowboys game was down 23% year over year. Now,
okay,
I know
you had to go to bed.
Certainly understand a big part of that was the massive delay. It was an hour and a half, I think.
Yeah,
and the fact that on the East Coast the game didn't finish until about 1 a.m. And by the way, still averaged 20.3 million viewers for a game that was on East Coast time from 9:45 to 1 a.m.
Yeah.
But that is still down from last year when San Francisco played, you guessed it, the Cowboys. So ratings did take a dip. And in the late afternoon for CBS, Packers, Rams, that was down 12%. So this was a very rare week for the NFL where they took some hits across the board.
Okay, that is very interesting. I wonder what people were doing. The Cowboys game makes a lot of sense.
For sure.
The Packers-Ram game, I guess nobody cares about the Rams. I mean, it's L.A. Their market doesn't care about it.
And their team is not good.
They're like, we have two teams we don't care about in the stadium.
So just something to keep an eye out on is they took a big hit this week. We'll see how it goes going
forward.
If
it keeps going down, what do we blame it on? I mean, there's no political thing that's getting into
it. I mean, look, then I would have to say Mark Cuban was right.
Oh,
about,
wow.
He was a little bit late, but he was right about it. I do not anticipate that's happening. But yes, I'm sure the election every 4 years for president touches on these ratings as well.
That's interesting because I don't know how much of right now people are completely in. I think a lot of people are. No, that's a different conversation for a different time.
Okay, if you just want to touch on it real quick here, I will tell you that I think people fear, because we've gotten the same kind of feedback, right? That sports is no longer their haven from staying away from political stuff,
yeah.
Right? Because it used to be you could just watch it and you knew they weren't going to be like, oh, did you hear what Dan Quayle said or whatever? But like now, a lot of people are afraid that that's not the case. So that might have something to do with it.
Okay.
All right, Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams is not expected to play this week, in case you thought he might.
What?
But also, trade talks have slowed down with two of the primary teams. The thought was the Jets and the Saints. Well, what has been happening? The Saints have been struggling, and now their quarterback is hurt. But what's happened with the Jets? Well, they fired their head coach. So a lot going on in both places that are probably like slowing down the process. In the meantime, who has started to inspect this process a little bit more? The Buffalo Bills are supposedly really monitoring this situation. We talked about it. The cap hit that you take from picking up Devontae Adams goes down about $1 million every single week. So I'm sure they would wait probably another week, make sure Devontae was good to go from the hamstring, and then maybe make a move. Because Josh Allen says he has all the trust in his receivers. But the problem is that question probably got asked because they've been struggling.
Makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense.
What would you think about Devontae Adams on the Bills?
It would be a phenomenal addition for him. A dude that really wants to win. A dude that's played in cold weather, so he understands how to play in that kind of environment as well. And a quarterback that really does need that to go along with Kincaid. I think Kincaid's a great tight end.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you can take away things from Josh Allen's offense.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We've been trying to incorporate a lot more kind of hyper-local stuff. All right. So, coming up next, which Lions players scare you and where did the Cowboys hold an advantage? Plus, high school volleyball domination.
What?
Next on The Fan.
He'll take it in front. It's available. Fought for. Loose. They score! It's Matt Duchesne! He wins it in double overtime!
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to dive back into some football stuff. But first, there are developments on the hockey front. Corey, there's been a scratch in goal.
Oh!
Which means...
No Ottinger tonight.
I'm sorry. Not for the Cowboys.
The Stars?
Yes, for the Stars.
You're going to let that rock your world all day, aren't
you? I really am. For the Stars. But for Nashville, who will now roll out Scott Wedgewood, a.k.a. Wedgewood 1. So it's the battle you've been waiting years to see. Wedgewood against Ottinger.
This is now an even more important game. Somebody said, I know this is off subject, boys, but it really feels like tonight's Stars game is a must win. Your thoughts, Kevin?
No, it doesn't.
And now that Wedgewood's in goal, showing up your old goalie who left you because he didn't think you were a good enough franchise, obviously.
That
I don't know.
Is not what happened. He's like, hey, we can pay you more than $1 million. And he's like, that sounds
all right. $1 million somewhere terrible or, you know, $500,000 somewhere great. That's the difference. Mm. Feels like this one's even more important now. And as our boss, Gavin Spittle pointed out, Alec, you only get three against the Predators this year, so you really got to take advantage of this early because it could matter at the end.
You got to step up, man. This just feels all the more important now. Must win. This is now do or die, Kevin. It's not just must win.
Okay, so you lose and what happens?
This could be the most important Nothing. Stars game of your life.
Okay, shut up until
the season's
next
over.
Yeah. No.
Look, more games.
I hope that they win.
You lose to Wedgewood. Might as well just move on from Ottinger at this point.
Mm-hmm. I don't agree with that at all.
Trade for Wedgewood back.
I will say I hope the Stars win. If, unfortunately, they don't, I think it's okay.
Stars fans, you let us know. 877-881-1053. Thank you very much.
In terms of the rest of the season, I think it'll be okay.
Are you on our side, the Stars side?
I just said I want the Stars to win tonight.
But
tonight is game one of the Stanley Cup. No, it's not. It's not. It's game like one of 82.
Feels like that kind of energy.
Game seven.
Yeah. Oh, my God. All right.
Love it.
Which Lions players scare you? And maybe where do you think the Cowboys have an advantage?
Okay.
Because I've gone back to this multiple times. I'm really concerned about how effective the Lions are on first down. All right. So we talked about most of the time they get more than 4 yards. They're averaging at times 7 yards a play on first down, which is the second highest in the NFL, which means they not only get ahead of the chains, they get way ahead of the chains and put your defense in a really tough scenario. So from an offensive Lions perspective, I am very concerned about their variety of weapons and ability to take advantage of you on first down.
I stick with the three areas that I'm concerned about the most. It's the run game for sure, which, as we've discussed, gives you short yardage on second, third down. So the run game concerns me a lot. But if the run game isn't as effective, then I'm looking at this Cowboys defense and saying, hey, man, we did something right. So this is a really good test of the last 2 weeks. Now, the problem is, and somebody pointed this out, I completely agree with you. This quarterback is better than the last two quarterbacks you've faced.
Oh, for sure.
So because you kind of were able to make them one-dimensional defensively, you didn't have as many concerns on the back end of your defense because you can come up and be a little more effective up front. This team is both. It's very good at both things. So the balance of their offense is really going to test the Cowboys' defense this week. That's what I'm concerned most about, Gibbs and David Montgomery. Those two concern me most. Then, as we just talked with Mashota about, then it's Aiden Hutchinson. He can wreck a game plan very easily. And as he was saying, you got to send a line, man. You got to send a whole couple different doors his direction, because you can't just have Guyton over there one-on-one with him all night. It's not going to work out for you.
I realize Hutchinson had a spectacular game against the Bucs with 4.5 sacks, but that has led him to lead the league in sacks, even though he's played one fewer game than most players.
Yeah.
Because, like, the Lions were, I mean, and that's another thing. The Lions are coming off a bye, just like the Eagles. They had a really early bye. So he's played one fewer games than most of these people and is still at the top of the heap with 6.5 sacks already. Now, you were talking about the running backs and the wide receivers, and one of the things that makes me nervous is when we talk with Mashota is that the Lions are still focused on taking the top off of the offense, or the top off the defense, if you will. And even though they haven't been quite as successful with that as they would have wanted to thus far this year, they're still trying. And I know Jerron Bland looks like he's going to come back. I'm not sure if we're going to be on a snap count quite yet. People have concerns about Trayvon Diggs or Kalen Carson or anything like that. It makes me nervous that you might be vulnerable for that big strike offense, because we've struggled at the small focus of defense, let alone the big focus.
The thing that the area, Kevin, that I think you might be able to have an advantage is that they still are susceptible in the passing game. Lots of yards given up. But the problem is when you go, okay, 1,100 yards given up through the air, 4 touchdowns. That's it.
Yeah.
4 touchdowns. They turned the ball over 4 times. That's average for the NFL right now. They've been able to get that. But, man, you look at their 20-plus and 40-plus plays, very few. So what happened last year, they gave up big plays all the time in the passing game. This year, they're not doing that as much. So that's one of the things that I think the Cowboys have a good CeeDee Lamb, Dak Prescott connection, as long as Dak Prescott's standing. His offensive line has to do the job of giving him an opportunity to be standing and complete passes. Otherwise, it's really difficult for this team.
It's interesting. I think I kind of prefer it this way.
This is a good defense, good offense, man. They're a good team.
They're good defensively, especially against the run, which I actually don't mind, because I'm like, look, I don't think the running game at any point this year is going to be a strength of the Cowboys. So I do kind of like the fact that they're good against the run and not as good against the pass, because I feel like that fits weakness for weakness and strength for strength. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, we're really good at, or strength for weakness, we're really good at stopping the run. And the Cowboys can be like, that's fine. We're not really that effective at running the ball. Hey, we're not so good at stopping the pass. Great. That's what we would like to do offensively.
Yeah.
And so I do see that.
This is a tough pairing for the Cowboys.
I see that part as an advantage for the Cowboys offense. Although I understand Detroit offense versus the Cowboys defense, you might see a whole lot of
depends on which team shows up. You know, it depends on which Cowboys defense shows up for this one, because if the Cowboys defense that you've seen the last couple weeks shows up and they are good at stopping the run, I have a lot of faith in the secondary. I have a lot of faith in Diggs. Maybe not so much our safeties. Our safeties are being told right now they're not very good.
If only there was a safety who could come in and save the day. Oh, like Wanye Thomas.
Wanye Thomas is your guy.
Give him a shot. If it fails, I'll admit that I was wrong about that.
There was one other thing I wanted to ask you about.
Go ahead.
I heard this morning, and I've heard it multiple times now. Do you think that Dan Campbell is going to go for two on the first touchdown that they score? Just to be like, you know what? I got to get that two that I didn't get last time.
I don't.
Are you stubborn? Because I mean,
so you
the
do
reality,
think he's going to do
the
that.
The reality is, if you do that and you don't get it, you're chasing that point for the rest of the game. I think it's dumb to do that, but I think Dan Campbell's just stubborn enough to be like, you know what? I'm never letting that one go. I'm going for two every time.
From the 817, are the Cowboys good at stopping the run? Look,
I don't know.
You can make the argument that they might still be the worst in the among the worst in the league, or hopefully you'll see a mid-level effort from the Detroit run game, which will give you some positivity that maybe this run defense could be average
this
season.
I got to see a couple more. This one will really give me a better idea.
Yes.
I'll take this one and go, okay, if they're good, they were good against this one.
I think that's fair. Now, Alec, I want to throw it over to you, and we can go any direction you want, whether it's Detroit players that scare you, whether it's maybe where the Cowboys might hold an advantage. What have you got for us?
One, I don't think they're going to go for two after the first touchdown, but you know what I do think is going to happen, and I would put money on it?
Fourth down conversions.
First play of the game on offense for the Lions. Dan Skipper is going to report as eligible.
Like it.
I
so
would
you
put
agree
money
with the stubbornness,
that. Yes.
Just for in a different way.
Absolutely. Like first offensive play of the game, he's going to report as eligible, and they're not going to do anything with him, but they're going to report him as eligible.
Are they going to report him as eligible straight up, or are they going to try to run a confusion play again and put a whole bunch of people out there and be like, I don't know who's eligible?
Back to the stubbornness thing, I think they're going to make it as obvious and blatant as possible. They're going to have him go up there and do like jumping jacks in front of the ref and then, you know, rub his stomach, you know, like you're supposed to rub the number. Like he's going to make it as obvious. He's going to tell everybody at the line, hey, I'm eligible, just so you know.
I gotcha.
Yeah, I told him. You know who scares me? He's not even a player. And it's not Dan Campbell. It's his defensive coordinator, Aaron Glenn. I think he is one of the most slept-on coordinators or assistant coaches in the NFL. And I think what he's done with that secondary is what kind of worries me in this matchup, because not a lot of big names when you think about the Lions secondary, but very, very sound. They're not amazing. They're not anything to write home about, but they answer the call every single time, it feels like, against these bigger name receivers in big moments. It might not be the whole game. CeeDee Lamb might finish with 125 yards at the end of the game on Sunday, but they will make that one big play where they're looking for him in the fourth quarter. Something like that. Like guys like Kirby Joseph have really stepped up for that defense. And hey, he's a local guy that the Nosebleeds back when they were on nights.
Yes,
had
I remember
in studio.
That.
You know, that was a good interview that they had. And you found out there that's a guy that really wants to win. And Dan Campbell guys are just really, really stubborn guys that are like, I'm not going to, you might beat me 4 out of 5 times, but that fifth time is going to be the time that decides the game. And I'm going to make that play on you. So really Aaron Glenn's secondary, if they have really an on brand game, then when it matters the most, they could really tick you off.
Now I wanted to, we'll get back to hockey because apparently lots of people have lots of thoughts about that. But I wanted to throw this out there. I want to give some love out there to all of our local teams. On the high school volleyball front, Byron Nelson is now the number one team in the country. So Trophy Club Byron Nelson, per Max Preps national rankings, is number one in the country at volleyball. And lest you think that we're not awesome across the board, Plano, out of Plano, Prestonwood Christian Academy is number four.
I thought you were saying
in
Plano.
The country. I'm sorry. Prestonwood Christian Academy, because it says Plano Prestonwood, and I was about to read it, and I was like, that's not what I call it. Prestonwood Christian Academy is number four. So you have two of the top four volleyball teams, high school wise, in the entire country. That's awesome. Lovejoy and Keller are also both in the top 25. So North Texas, a hub of volleyball awesomeness.
That's been a reality for a while, going back to when we were covering, dude. Remember all the tournaments that were here?
Yes.
That would just take over, and it was the best play. I know California would bring in a lot of really talented players, too, but, man, around this area, it's hot.
I do believe, and this is absolutely a true story, the Prestonwood Christian Academy coach, shout out to Coach Mitchell, he was not at Prestonwood at the time. We were talking about, on my last day at the newspaper, we had a night show that night, and Corey goes, just don't like write one of those sappy emails where you're like, thanks for all the time and blah, blah, blah. And I totally did that to like my favorite coaches. And he texted me and he goes, oh my God, I'm totally reading your dumb sappy email that Corey said not to send at this exact moment. And I was like,
I love
it hurts. It hurts just a little bit. Now, on the Stars front, my goodness, from the 817, I think Kevin hates the Stars. Trade the whole team if we lose. From the 254, do I need to call in sick to properly mentally prepare for tonight? No,
probably.
You don't. From the 661.
But hold on, you're telling people not to take time so that they can prepare? Wow.
I don't.
You're saying don't invest energy in this tonight.
No, I'm not telling that. Yeah. No, I'm not telling you anything.
You're not telling me. You're telling them.
Actually, I am telling you something. I do not believe tonight is a must win. I do not think that is a controversial opinion. From the 661, you lose and you're 0-1, Kevin. How is that good? I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying it's not the end of the world. And I definitely hope they win.
Doesn't sound like it.
From the 469,
like
Kevin, you silly goose. This is willfully naive. This is by far the biggest regular season game we've had since the 99 Stanley Cup. So nothing in the 2000 season where you also made it to the Stanley Cup final?
Lost those. We won the 99 Cup, Kevin. That was the most important one. Thank you very much. They're talking about winning a championship this year by starting off as a champion.
From the 817, major playoff implications. From the 214, it's do or die. From
this
another
214.
Like, what are we doing?
This is where it starts tonight, Stars. This is where we begin our run.
Lay that foundation.
Exactly.
I hope we win. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Plus, we'll go back to the Red River rivalry. Would you have stuck with Manning over Ewers? We'll do it all next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where the power of radio is still going strong. In the break, got a text from Coach Mitchell. So he was listening, probably to make fun of that email I sent him. But congrats to Byron Nelson, to Preston Wood for being in the top five nationally.
Hey, do you think that since he's listening, that he'll ever tell you about why that one person didn't play in the very important
in the
game?
State championship? Yeah, Coach, hit
go
me
ahead
back.
And text him.
I don't think I ever got
know.
The answer to that.
We're not going
to
report it now.
All right, right now, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Any other houses getting torn down today?
Yeah, see, but did you, Mick, did you see... Like every site in the world picked up that story after we told you about it.
I know. You guys are cutting edge.
Exactly.
That's what we do.
So now we need you to return the favor. Did Mike McCarthy say anything particularly interesting or relevant in his press conference?
Well, it sounds like, you know, if Deron Bland gets through this practice, and today's the padded practice, that I think they think he just might be ready to go. Now, I don't know if that means every snap in the game, but that's certainly encouraging because, as I told you guys before, normally they let him practice for a week and then practice to get into a game the next week. So that would be a step in the right direction, especially since he said that Kalen Carson would be in the rehab group again with that shoulder. So... that would at least get an experienced guy on the field. I don't think Micah has much of a chance. He was still rehabbing yesterday.
Yeah.
So I don't know how, you know, if he's got any opportunity to get back on the field.
Somebody did text in a few minutes ago, Mickey, and I texted back, but I wanted to confirm with you. Eric Kendricks out yesterday from practice, Veteran Day.
No, he has a shoulder, I think Mike said.
I think they said, yeah, I saw in the injury
shoulder
report,
calf.
I thought it was a calf and a shoulder,
he mentioned more shoulder today than calf. But I got a feeling that's one of those, let's just get him to Sunday. So you would hope so, too, because of how well he's played and how he's kind of quarterbacked that defense. You know, that's... that's one of the more unsung free agent signings that they made in the offseason. And they didn't make a lot, right? But that one, I think, was huge, and they didn't really cost them all that much when you talk about the salary cap. So, yeah, he's played awfully, awfully well.
I want to give credit to, among other people, credit to Corey. He told me straight away, he was like, I think this is going to be a big deal. And you're right, Mick. Thus far, I think Eric Kendricks has played very well.
Yeah, sometimes you don't have to pay $10, $12 million to get a free agent, right?
That is fair. But then, Mickey, I continue to see what Derrick Henry does, and then I'm like, maybe if you would have paid that free agent, it could have worked out. So
$16 million is more, right?
You're right, but then when I look at that, I'm like, is he going to win Offensive Player of the Year? That's when I'm like, dang it. But I realize that time has come and gone, not going to happen.
You might have had to forfeit something else, though.
That is true, but
like Dak.
The Cowboys still won't give me a look at their books. I've asked Steven to look at their books to tinker with their salary cap several times.
Right.
Still haven't been granted access to that. So
maybe one day.
Once it happens.
Well, you can look at them. I mean, it's out there.
That is true. I want to have input with
them. How do
you
get that access to their books?
Well, I mean, you can see what guys are making.
Oh, you
right?
just have to put it all together. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, and then you got to figure out what's coming the next year, too. It's not just a one-year deal.
I usually just have Mickey smuggle me some documents out of the Star. That's what helps for me. Now,
got boxes of documents at your Mar-a-Lago place.
On the defensive side. Yeah, you just mentioned a trigger word. On the defensive side, whether it's Mozzie, whether it's Golston, I think we still all came away like pretty darn impressed with the defense as a whole, but especially the defensive line when you're already missing, going back to before the season started, Sam Williams, and then you lost Marshawn Nealon in that game, and then you were already without Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence.
I thought it was shocking that they played as well as they did because of just what you said. You lost your top four defensive ends heading into training camp. And all of a sudden, you said, okay, well, I got Nealon starting, and then I can start Golston. And then Nealon gets hurt four plays into the game, and now it's the guy we've come to know as T. Wheat, right? Tyrus Wheat's playing defensive end. The guy last year at times was a linebacker. Sometimes they moved him to defensive tackle, and now he's at defensive end. And those are your starters along with bringing in Carl Lawson, who hasn't played all that much, didn't go to basically missed all of training camp, wasn't with anybody. And, you know, those were kind of your defensive ends. And I thought the key thing they did was they just did their jobs, right? They set the edge. They didn't have any jailbreaks to the outside like we saw in the games when they were getting run over. I think that was encouraging, and I would imagine that in this game, K.J. Henry, who's only a second-year player, is going to have to be active and, you know, to get another young guy out there and see if they can hold down the fort. But so far, kind of so far so good. Now, this will be the big test, right?
Yes.
With the dual running backs. I saw a stat in the Lions release. They are 7-1 when they get two this year or whenever over the last 16 games with Gibbs and Montgomery each scoring at least one touchdown. So if each one of them scores at least one touchdown, they're 7-1. And as a rushing duel, they've been awfully, awfully productive. So now I think we will see if this trend of stopping the run in the previous two games is just who they were playing, or have they improved with a patchwork defensive front.
Now, on the flip side, how much discussion have you heard, or how much investigating have you done about the red zone struggles? Because it wasn't just last game. Like, this is something I feel like we've talked about for pretty much the entire season for the Cowboys offense.
Yeah, no, it has been, and it has not been good. I think you have to go back and look at maybe some of the reasons why. Off the top of my head, they've had a couple turnovers in there. They've had penalties that have pushed them back.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, I'm in the red zone. Oh, now I'm at the 25-yard line. Get a holding penalty. So I think that has contributed to some of that. And I think early on, it was the inability to run the football. Everything's in close quarters, right? And you got everything's got to be, you know, everybody's got to be able to do their job, and they weren't, and they weren't executing well in the red zone. So I think that if you eliminate those penalties, and you know, if you go back and look at the winning touchdown pass to Tolbert,
yeah,
everybody to a man, everybody did their job from the offensive. Offensive linemen to the running backs executing where they were supposed to go. And as Tolbert said, having adjusted on the fly, because the way the play was originally designed was CD was going to go across, and he was supposed to be behind on the back line going across the other way. Well, he said the way it turned out, things kind of got a little crowded, and so he cut across the front of the goal line, and if you noticed, he had to step back to about the 1 yard line or 2 yard line so he didn't get called for a pick on CD's guy that was coming the other way. And then he realized, okay, now I got to step back into the end zone to be able to catch a pass with the defensive back, I believe it was Deshaun Elliott, draped all over him. He was tugging on him, and he makes the catch. Turpin took his guy deep to get that guy out of there. If you go back and look at it, T.J. Bass pancakes his guy.
Yeah.
I mean, pancaked him. The whole line bought time for Dak to wait, to be able to throw the pass, and he ended up doing it off his back foot, almost like he was backpedaling. So that's what they need inside the red zone, everybody to do their job. And on that particular play, when you go look at it, it's like it performed just the way they drew it up.
Thank you very much for the time, good sir. We'll catch up with you again tomorrow.
All right. It'll be Friday, right?
Yeah, that's right. So that means prediction time.
Oh, got to get ready for that.
Good luck. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Kevin, was it just me or when Mickey was talking about, and then T.J. Bass pancakes, I thought he was going to say pancaked his ass for some reason. I really felt
that.
Like that was the only way Mickey was going, and then he stopped and I was like, all right, never mind. I'd love to hear it though. I'm just saying.
All right. Well, I mean, he listens. Maybe he'll give you that wish tomorrow.
Maybe. It's better over
here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything, and that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.